Welcome to a Single Serving Podcast. I'm your host, Shaney Silver. I started this podcast because whenever I saw content for single women, it was about dating, how to date better, how to survive dating, and I know that we deserve more than that. So I created this podcast to change the way being single is seen, discussed, and felt, and I'm so happy to have you here with me. I hope you'll also consider joining the Facebook group for this podcast. It's become a really supportive community full of people sharing stories and encouraging one another and actually meeting up in real life too. There are three main ways that you can support this podcast. The first is simply share it. Share it with someone who needs to hear it, share it with your family, share it with your friends, anybody who could use a change in perspective when it comes to being single. The second way is you can rate and review this podcast on iTunes. It takes 2 seconds and it's a huge deal that really helps podcasters get more visibility and continue to do their work. And then the third way is you can become a patron of mine on Patreon. Patreon is a platform that helps independent creators earn money for creating the work that people enjoy. So there are multiple tiers that you can join, but my favorite one is a $5 tier that comes with an extra bonus episode of this podcast every single month. So there will be a link to it below. Check it out. And in the meantime, thank you so much for joining me. I definitely pushed record before I had firm footing on what I wanted to say to you today, but you know what? Let's just roll with it and see where we go. Welcome to a Single Serving Podcast. I am Shaney Silver, your host, and I record this podcast from a table in the middle of my apartment. So I'm sorry if you can hear random noises, either emanating from the hallway, my neighbors, or a cat that is pretty disgruntled with me at the moment, if I'm honest. Happy to have you all listening. I have a really fun episode for you today. I love connecting with people who get it. And if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you will understand what I mean by get it. I talk about being single in a way that's pretty different from the way I hear it discussed on other podcasts or in other places, because mostly the focus is on dating. It's always about dating, just dating, 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 advice and stories and horror stories and memes and jokes and a pretty singular focus on dating. And I think that that is pretty detrimental to the single community when all we ever talk about is dating, because it implies that you're missing something. It implies that there's this task that you have to do if you're single, and that task is called dating, the pursuit of partnership. Like, it's something you have to do, like it's on your to-do list, and why haven't you done it yet? It just is very assumptive to only ever create things for single people that are about dating. So I create things that are not about dating. And for a long time, I wrote a series on Refinery29 called Every Single Day and talked about more things than just dating. And Refinery29 in the UK has been sharing that recently. And one of the writers for Refinery29 in the UK shared a piece of mine recently. And the way that she shared it on Instagram just showed me how deeply she got it and that it resonated with her. And I find her work really refreshing and really honest and warm. And so I wanted her to come on the podcast, and she said yes. So that's what I'm doing today. I'm talking to Jessica and having a great time just shooting the shit with her, basically, and I hope you guys enjoy. Basically, every time you listen to this podcast, I just want it to feel like you sat down for a cup of coffee or wine or tea or whatever beverage you enjoy and just like heard people have a cool conversation. That's my hope. Anyway, before I get into the interview today, I want to do a couple things. I receive some really lovely reviews from people. And the coolest thing is that they come from all over the world, but you will only ever see the reviews for your own country in your Apple Podcasts app. So I wanted to read a couple of these because they've come from all over the world and they have made me so happy and they've made me feel like I'm doing some good. And so I wanted to share them with you and especially to say thank you to all of the people that left these reviews. So if you are someone who left one of these reviews, thank you so much for your kind words. Thank all of you who have rated or reviewed this podcast ever. It really helps with the growth of the podcast. It's a hard thing to do to grow a podcast from zero. And you guys help me do that all the time. Every time you listen to the podcast or share it with a friend or rate it and review it, you help it grow. And that means a lot to me because I'm an independent podcaster who's not paid to do this. I do it because I love it and I love you guys. So thank you for your support. It is appreciated. I just wondered to myself, have I been recording this whole time or not? I have. Okay. Confirmation that I have been recording. Good. It's real high tech around here, guys. Okay. Here are the reviews that I want to share with you. This one is titled Love It. It comes from someone in Canada. And the review says, Shaney makes me look at being single in a completely different light. After listening to the first episode, I was hooked. I feel empowered and appreciative of my single life now, instead of sad and embarrassed. Every time I finish an episode, I send it to one of my single girlfriends saying, no, this was the best one. You've got to listen. Thank you for switching the narrative on single life and helping me feel less alone, Shaney. You are so welcome. You have no idea how welcome you are. This is my joy in life to create this for you. Thank you so much for listening and for sharing your kind words and just for getting it. You get it. Thank you for getting this. It's hard to... Sometimes I feel like it's hard to explain the way that I feel about being single and the way that I feel about our lives, our very valid, complete, whole lives, because it goes against the grain of kind of everything that we grew up believing and knowing. So thank you for letting me know that you get it. This next review comes from Germany. So if you are the person that left this, danke, I appreciate it. The title is Weekly Affirmations of Singlehood. Love what Shaney is doing here for all single people, helping us feel proud and seen for all of our accomplishments outside of searching for a partner. If you lack ease and comfort in your single status, this podcast is so helpful and the Facebook group isn't too bad either. Thanks, Shaney. Please keep it up. I sure will. Thank you so much. And thank you for the Facebook group, love. I appreciate that. It's a lovely space and so are all the people in it. The last one I will read for you comes from Australia. I'm telling you, the world, guys, the whole world. Australia is as physically far away from me as you can get. So I really enjoy hearing from you guys in Australia. Hi, I see you. How you doing? This review is titled So Refreshing. Refreshing, intelligent, and infuriatingly truthful discussions about what we all go through. Thank you. Infuriatingly truthful is fantastic. That needs to be an episode title at some point. That's really great. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you to all of you who leave reviews. If you want to leave a cool review for me and tell me what you think of the podcast, maybe I'll read it on the podcast. Maybe that's a thing that can happen. So go ahead and leave a rating and a review for this podcast. Tell me what you think, and I'll read them. I mean, I'll read them regardless. Whether or not I put them on the podcast, I read every single one. So know that anything you have to say, I read. The message gets to me, I promise. And the last thing I will share with you before I start the interview, a few episodes ago, I shared with you a single serving success story from a person named Sally. Sally wrote to me to celebrate her friend Zuri because Zuri was earning her PhD and she was celebrating that and she wanted to celebrate Zuri's PhD on the podcast. And damn it, so did I. So I shared an email from Sally. But this week I heard from Zuri. She wrote me too. And this is the email she sent me. Dear Shaney, I'm writing to share a single serving success story about a person whose name you may recognize, my dear friend Sally. She wrote you a few weeks ago to share a story about me defending my PhD thesis on Zoom amidst the pandemic. Sally, who is also a PhD student, has been by my side all summer as we sought to write our dissertations amid all the chaos going on in our world today. Our friendship has truly been one of the bright spots of 2020, and I am so incredibly grateful that we've been able to support each other through the challenges of becoming badass women scientists. I'm thrilled to report that Sally just, literally moments ago, also successfully defended her PhD thesis and put on a fabulous virtual celebration worthy of her brilliance and success. Your show has brought us closer as friends throughout this tumultuous time, and so I feel it is only right to share with you that we are now officially both fierce lady PhD scientists ready to take on the world. Congratulations to Dr. Sally, and cheers to single women celebrating our badassery every damn day. Thank you for all that you do for our community. Sincerely, Dr. Zuri Sulfin. I'm really sorry, guys. It's just the nicest thing. It is the nicest thing to hear from any of you ever, but to hear from these two who've done something really difficult and such a massive accomplishment in easily the hardest year any of us can remember. That's a big fucking deal. So thank you, Doctors Zuri and Sally, for sharing your story with me. I appreciate it, obviously, because I'm an actual mess right now. That's just the most beautiful thing. Thank you so, so much. I'm so proud of you guys, and I'm so grateful to have you as listeners. Truly, it's a very, very big deal to me. I don't take any of this lightly at all. Oh, I'll get it together in a second. Hang on. Oh, someone tell a joke, make me laugh. Hello. This is amazing. Thank you, Zuri. Thank you, Sally. This is so cool. It sounds weird, but like you know, 2 years ago, this podcast didn't exist. It wasn't a thing. And today it exists and I make it. And then I get to hear things like this from people who've listened because they chose to listen and they chose to share it with their friends. And then they chose to become fucking scientists. Like, what? This is the best thing. This is the best thing. Thank you so, so much. That was really wonderful to read. So thank you guys so much. I will collect myself and begin the actual episode. As always, thank you all so much for listening, for being fans of this podcast, for sharing it with people that mean a lot to you, just for like joining me in acknowledging that being single isn't this horrible thing that the world has tried to make us believe that it is. It isn't. And I'm passionate about this stuff because it isn't a bad thing. I don't know how much more truthful I can be. It isn't a bad thing, being single. It's so wonderful. And I guess I get upset sometimes because the wonderful hides behind the judgment of other people. And it really is such a wonderful time in our lives. And I want you to enjoy it. I want you to do things you want to do and accomplish things you want to do. Because you can, because nothing can stop you from that. And I know it's really hard to change your mindset around that because we've been fed a different story from the beginning and we never deserved it. So tell yourself a new story. And if this podcast helps, I'm very grateful. I'm just also really grateful for female scientists. I think that's just the best thing I've ever heard. Thank you guys so much for being a part of this. I'm going to start the episode because truly I don't know what else to say at all. And I feel like you can hear noise on the street from the traffic. And I don't know. It's a day. It's a day around here. I love you guys so much. Enjoy the episode. In the very early days of this podcast, pressing record used to give me a lot of anxiety. I used to be very, very afraid to start recording because I didn't know what I was doing. I don't know that I do now. I'm just more comfortable with pressing that button. So I used to have such anxiety before I started an episode. And now I'm just kind of like excited to talk to people. Hi, Jess. How are you?
I'm good, Shani. How are you?
I am as well as one can be in a global pandemic where you can't travel anywhere because you're American. Tell everybody.
I feel your pain. The UK, it's like a bomb has gone over. Like, literally, our government is just...
I mean, what government isn't just kind of at the moment? They're doing great. They're doing great. Let's go there when this is done. Let's go someplace that knows what the hell they're doing. Tell everyone who you are, what you do, what would you like an audience full of single women and single individuals to know about you as we begin a conversation together?
So I am Jessica Noah Morgan. I am first and foremost British. I live in kind of, I'm going to say London because no one knows where the hell I live, but Essex. And I'm a writer.
I have a lot of listeners in Essex. I have one of my favorite things to do is to go through my podcast stats and see all the different parts of London that people are listening to this podcast from. Most often Islington. And then there's just so many. It's so great. I'm like, I'm learning geography from my own fucking podcast. This is great. Anyway, continue.
Well, big up the Essex listeners. I'm here. Representation matters. I'm a writer, journalist, and I currently work as Refinery29 UK's staff writer, covering news, fashion, politics, women's issues, pretty much everything on the site. I'm also chronically single, which I own. Have been single for 5 years, loving every moment of it. I think there are some times when you have little dips, but it's okay. I'm also 27 and loving life. Yeah, I'm just kind of bubbling along during this pandemic, don't know what the fuck I'm doing every single day, but I'm just trying to survive, like all of us.
I was going to say, you're all of us. You're all of us just trying to do our level best. Tell me, is Malka your Hebrew name or your middle name?
It's my Hebrew name.
It's in your Twitter bio, which, by the way, part latke, part plantain, is my favorite Twitter bio I've ever read. I also don't know how you got the Hebrew in your name in the typeface. And I'm like, how do people do that? Like, I kind of dig it just because I can read it. It just makes me happy and I feel smarter than other people. But I love your Hebrew name. It's one of my favorites.
Thank you so much. That's I have like funny. Six English names, so it's quite nice to just have the one Hebrew name.
My Hebrew name is Fredel Shifra, and it's a amalgamation of a couple past relatives' names together. And I never went by Fredel. I always went by Shifra at Hebrew school. And I didn't really like it because it just didn't, in my mind, it didn't sound that pretty to me. I love that it started with the shin, which was like my favorite Hebrew letter. On my bat mitzvah invitations, fun fact, it's misspelled. Oh,
who did that? Who did you? Why?
We did. I don't know. Like, I was there when we ordered the invitations. It's missing a yud. There is a yud, which makes a Y sound if you don't speak Hebrew. There's a yud in my name, and it's missing on the invitations. What? Like, that's the most 90s really family is. Thing ever, to fuck up your own Hebrew name on your bat mitzvah invitation. That is.
Interesting, I think.
Oh God. Anyway, so your background is, to put it in your Twitter bio, part plantain, part latke.
Yes, that's pretty much. So I'm, part German, part Caribbean. So Jamaican, it's a great mix. Love it. It's like
such a good mix. I want to come to Shabbat dinner at your house.
I know, it's so good. It's like rice and peas and latkes. Challah. Sourdough bread. It's just the best.
You get all the best carbs.
Like, I'm literally, it's so difficult to even diet. I mean, the word diet does not exist in my house. My mom is a feeder. Yes, I still live at home because I will never leave and rent is free.
I mean, especially now, there's just so much comfort. Speaking as someone who has been extremely alone throughout this pandemic, there's so much comfort in just the like home and family and like, I don't know, company of human beings right now.
You say that, but I'm so ready to leave. This whole year, I was like, I'm going to move. I cannot stand you. But I also love like just having people in the house. So yeah, it swings and roundabouts.
For sure. I mean, so much is like up in the air. I feel like after the snow globe stops shaking and everything settles, we're all going to make some very big decisions about what we're doing, why we're doing it, where we're doing it. It's really like just shaken the planet, and everyone's sort of reevaluating so many things, which on one level is very cool. And on the other level is horrifying because like, why did it take this many people getting a virus and dying for everyone to just like wake
also,
up?
Why has it taken a whole pandemic for people to learn how to wash their hands? Like that is the most jarring thing of this whole year, was the fact that we had to have doodles and be told to wash our hands for 20 seconds while singing happy fucking birthday. Really? Really?
Maybe it should just take us. Maybe we should all just go. Like if this is where we're at. I was walking back from the store just before we started this conversation, and I was looking around at the ground, and I'm like, so are masks just new litter? Is that just what's happening? Because they're everywhere. They're
on the floor.
Yes,
I have it on my bedroom floor. Like I just look at it every day. I don't pick it up. I look at it and go, this is my life now.
Just a ground littered in masks. For those who are inspired by what you do for a living, which is very similar to many things I have done for a living throughout my career as well, how did you find yourself in your current career? And I ask that to sort of like inspire anyone who might be listening and interested in doing something similar.
Cool. I mean, I kind of fell into journalism, and I know that's kind of like a cliche thing to say, but I actually never even thought about being a journalist. I always wanted to be in law. So I watched, and you'll laugh, Legally Blonde when I was younger, and I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to be a lawyer. And so I studied law. I went to law school and I worked in law firms for about 5 years in the city in London. And then kind of pivoted to finance because the money was great. But the treatment in corporate wasn't very nice when you're a single woman in the office. So I quit, almost had a nervous breakdown because my boss was a dick, and then decided to write about, and this is the best part of journalism, to overshare. So I started a blog and started oversharing about all my mental disorders, and people loved it. And then I was like, maybe I could become a journalist. And so here we are. I'm a prolific oversharer.
I think that's a delightful title. I too used to be a lawyer, and I remember watching My Cousin Vinny thinking I could do this shit. And I went to law school, became a lawyer, all of it. And very similarly, I'm a bit older than you. So I became a lawyer right at the start of the recession in 2008.
Okay.
Which is,
yeah.
Ooh. Maybe not the best time to get into that field. So similar, a shitty treatment in various workplaces led to a change in careers. And the thing that broke me out of that career cycle was Refinery 29. That was my first job out of the law. I was the first Chicago editor for Refinery 29. This was back when publications were doing things like local editors, which was very cool thing. And I wish they would do more of it, because it's really hard to write about a city you don't live in and have never been to, but I digress. Anyway, so you mentioned briefly that you've been single for 5 years. I'm on 12. So yeah, more things we have in common.
I'm coming. I'm slowly creeping up behind you. Trust me.
There is really, it's so funny to say it out loud and to not have that gut tightening that I used to have when I would tell people how long I've been single. Now I just don't give a shit. I'll hand out business cards on the street to tell people I've been single for 12 years. I could give a shit. It doesn't, like, you start to see it as, and maybe you have already, I don't know, but you start to see it as like, I see my length of time being single as very much a purpose in my life. Mm-hmm. I see that it has given me so much purpose in my life. And to prove it, I had a series on Refinery 29 and now a podcast. I just talk about this shit all the time.
It's a personal brand now. Just own it.
It really is. And sometimes, like, if you think about that as a personal brand, you therefore have to think about, well, how are you going to evolve it when you are partnered? And I mean, I look forward to crossing that bridge when I come to it, but I really don't think that I can, I'm never going to stop talking to women. I don't think,
no.
You know, can you imagine just like not writing or creating to this audience anymore? I can't.
No, I literally think about this daily. I think, oh, what if somehow I managed to get into a relationship? I would still write features about being single. I would still write Twitter threads about how much I hate modern dating, even when I, you know, could be in bed with my husband. I'd be like, I still hate you. I still yearn to be single. I still love single life. You just make, you know, you just add a little bit of extra.
I sometimes pity my future partner because I'm going to look at him really often and say, like, I'm going to force him to give me an accounting of his single male friends and then ask him why he's done nothing about them. Like, do you know how many amazing, brilliant, stunning, kind, loving single women there are around the globe, and you're sitting on three basketball buddies like it's not a big deal? Fuck you. Like, no.
I feel like guys are really selfish with sharing out their single friends as well.
I think they're clueless. I don't know if it's selfishness or just absolute what? Like, I don't think they understand. Like, I don't think they know that they're sitting on a hot commodity, because it is actually, you know this, it's very hard for human beings to connect. And that was true before a pandemic. It's hard to come together in a way that feels like it sticks. Sometimes it just feels very cursory and very internet swipey, and like genuine connection, I feel like sometimes takes human facilitation. Some of my favorite stories of how people met, there was a human being that connected other human beings, and then
like
those human beings,
friend kind of thing.
Exactly.
See, that doesn't happen anymore.
No,
it just doesn't exist. And if it does, it's messy because of the way modern dating has kind of, you know, everyone's looking for the next best thing. So even if it's your mate's best friend, you're still going to want something better. So you end up ghosting them anyway. And then they're not fighting. And then, trust me, I've been there.
It's all a big, flaming, abandoned Mazda in a parking lot. Everything is just a mess and chaos. But you know what? Maybe discussions like ours can help right the ship. How would you describe your overall experience with singlehood? I've yet to craft this question for you or for any of my prior guests in a way that I like. I want to know what you think about being single. I want to know what you think about it, how you feel about it, because the more, like, my opinion is one, and believe me, these guys have heard it. Like, I want more than the way I feel about it to be presented to me, because I want to hear how other people are processing being single in a way that, like, I don't think being single sucks, and I don't think I'm alone. So I want to hear more opinions than just mine. So I would like to know your overall experience with being single.
Well, I currently love being single at the moment. As I said, I've been single for 5 years, but it hasn't always been that easy. Like, the first few years, I just kind of come out of a long-term relationship with my ex, and I was in love with him, and he dumped me in a Starbucks, which is a great story.
that's your novel, man. That is your first book deal. You are sitting on it.
Honestly, that whole thing changed my life. And the thing is, like, I kind of threw myself into being single, hanging out with my friends, running, and I ended up going on this massive self-discovery journey on, you know, running 4 marathons in a year, traveling. This was pre-pandemic. So it was like my kind of eat, pray, love year, which I loved, and look back now and I think that fucking saved me. But also, rather than worrying about, oh my God, is anyone going to love me again? Or am I going to find someone? Now I'm so busy. I've got so many things that I want to do that I don't have to answer to anyone, that actually it's not like needing someone. If I want you, it's a privilege and I want to share my life with you, but I don't need you. So it's not that deep. So I'm at that point now where I'm just like, I actually really enjoy being single. I love doing my own thing. I actually find it really empowering. You know, like sometimes, especially women, like a single woman is always looked upon as being, oh, why are you single? Or what is wrong with you? Why is the reason, like, why no one wants to be with you? And I think that sucks. You get that. And, you know, I was reading my old Cosmopolitan magazines back from like the early 2000s, and loads of the articles, it's like, oh, how to get a guy to like you, how to call a guy first. And I see it like in kind of packaged a little bit differently in modern magazines now. And it just really makes me laugh, because the onus is always on women. You don't have like articles for men going, these are the reasons why women don't like you. How to call a woman. It's just, it's non-existent.
They couldn't take it. They could not take it. If they were constantly marketed to, everything that was wrong with them was always marketed to them, they couldn't take it. That, you know what? That's asshole-ish of me to say. Maybe they could. Let's find out. Let's start making some magazines that tell men everything that's wrong with them, and let's find out how they would feel. I'm not going to assume their own emotions for them, because maybe they would take it constructively. I don't know. I never took it constructively. I always just sort of took it very passively, and it just sort of soaked into my bones. And I kind of arrived at adulthood thinking, if you're single, you're not okay. There is something missing with you. I think that's what you absorb over time.
Especially like in your formative years, you know, when you're kind of just like turned 21 or 22 and you're kind of like an adult for the first time. And, you know, I look back, and when I was 18 at school, I remember kind of talking with my girlfriends going, at 24, I'm going to meet a guy. At 25, I'm going to be engaged. 26, I'm going to be married. By 28, I'm going to have kids. I am 27, have not done any of those, but I'm not mad about it. I am honestly not mad. But I think how much pressure we put on ourselves as women, very young, to have these milestones, especially in our 20s, which is the time for us to really get to know ourselves. And rather than doing that, we're spending so much time chasing relationships that aren't valuable to us. And so we end up kind of turning in, you know, getting to my age now, 27, and thinking, oh my God, I'm going to reach 30 and I don't have a husband. Like, it's such a common conversation in my friendship group. And I'm so glad I don't think like that anymore. But I think if that was like one advice I'd give to like younger people, or even my younger self, just do you. Just concentrate on your own shit. Stop worrying about stupid men.
Oh, it's so nice to hear you say that. And I wish you, like, talking to you, you feel so much further ahead in life than I was when I was your age. And I promise you that's the only time I will use the phrase when I was your age in this conversation, because it's actually really comforting to have a conversation with somebody who is in a generation different from my own, but who's having a very similar experience. Because that linear path, right? The math, we all do the math, whether we're doing the math in terms of I'm going to do this by this age or that by that age, or the more micro math when you're dating someone new and you start playing the tape through to the end and thinking about where the relationship's going to go. We've all done it. It's gross. We hate it. It's fine. No shame to anyone. Everyone's done it. Myself included. Many, many times. I no longer do, but it's, there's a real comfort in hearing you talk about this mindset that you have around being single. And I don't know if you feel this way, but do you think, I am of the opinion that time alone and being single in your adulthood is a gift, because I think it's a bit of a fast track to understanding so many things about the inherent value of the self without having to be attached to someone else to obtain that value. But I don't think that historically it's been okay to say that out loud.
It's almost like we're punished as women to actually enjoy spending time by ourselves. And a great example of this actually is something that I think about almost daily, maybe way too much than I should. There was one time I had come out of an interview in London and I was like, you know what? I bossed that interview. I'm going to go to a pizza place and treat myself to a lunch, right? And I went and got a table and they sat me by the window because I love people watching. And I ordered my pizza and the chef or the kitchen sent over my pizza and shaped it in a love heart. And it made me feel so condescended, as though, you know, I'm sat by myself. Oh, this must be a lonely woman who hasn't got a date to sit with. So I'm just going to make her happy by sending her a love heart pizza. And I was just like, I'm here on my own. I wanted a fucking circular pizza. I did not want a love heart pizza. What are you trying to tell me right now? What's your problem?
That is an aggressive piece of dough. That is unkind. That is so assumptive.
Aggression.
And also, even if it was just like the chef thinking you were cute and wanting to flirt with you, just say hello. Exactly. I don't need subliminal carbohydrates. Just get to the fucking point, man. That's wow.
It bothered me so much. Can't a woman go out and enjoy her meal without being harassed in some kind of way or have some kind of messaging to remind her that, oh, she's by herself? Like, it bothers me.
It bothers me too. It hurts my heart.
It's like one of the most empowering things. You know, back in the day, it was almost like, oh, I'll be worried about going to eat by myself. I'll be worried about going to the cinema by myself. And actually during the pandemic, I have no other choice but to hang out by myself. So it's kind of worked in the best way because I have no choice and I love it.
Oh, we've been in training for this.
Yes.
Single women have been in training for the global pandemic. Ironically,
it's kind of dealing with it so much better than men. I said it.
I don't know how men are dealing with it because all the men I know are partnered. And yeah, like all my male friends either have wives or husbands. And do I have any? Oh my God, I don't think I know. Oh, I have one. Yes, I have one male friend who is single. He's been a guest on the podcast. His name is Anto. Scroll back down, guys, and you can listen to the episode with Anto. I think the title of the episode is A Husband and 1,000 Cats, something like that. We were talking about what we both want, and we both want a husband and a bunch of cats. But other than that, yeah, I don't have a lot of insight into how men are handling the pandemic. I have a lot of insight into how women, specifically single women, are handling the pandemic. And those that identify as female and non-binary, we've got everybody in my Facebook group. I have a lot of insight into that. And I can tell you, it really has seemed to run the gamut. It really, the range and the fluctuation in levels of okayness within the single community has been just really comforting, because I guess it makes you feel less alone if you know other people have, it comes in waves and I don't know.
Nothing hard for single. I know I've got a few friends who are single who have actually been living on their own during the pandemic. And I know their experience is slightly different from mine because I'm with family, etc. But I do know that, you know, some just being by yourself and kind of, yeah, it must be quite hard. I think it would be like me and my vibrator the whole time. I'm not even mad about. I mean, my money there.
That's an option. That is certainly an option. I read the funniest story, or was it like I heard the funniest story back in the early days of the pandemic when there was, I don't know if you experienced this in the UK, but there was a lot of like flee home to your parents, like leave whatever major city you moved to and go to your parents' house to ride out the pandemic. That happened a lot. And I heard a story about a girl who like couldn't use her vibrator because it was like her bedroom was directly above her dad's office. And it just presented all sorts of challenges. And I was like, no, absolutely not. I'm staying right where I am. Thank you very much. How great is that? I think I heard that on Heather McMahon's podcast. She's one of the funniest human beings on earth. But the logistics.
Yeah, I never thought of that. I mean, I don't have that problem here living with my parents because my room is right at the top of the house. My vibrator is pretty silent. I invested very well.
And you know what? Thank goodness for innovation, because some of those things used to sound like lawnmowers.
So true. Awful. Thank you, Love Honey.
I love Honey. It's So I know what Love Honey is because there was a documentary made about Love Honey and it was on American Netflix. So I know that in Bath in the UK, there is this massive sex toy company and they're the kindest, loveliest people. And I felt so good about shopping with them because I knew who they were.
And their packaging is very, very, it's very, very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Discreet.
Very discreet.
Yeah.
Very discreet.
I look forward to a day, though, when we can very confidently get packages delivered to us that say vibrator on the side, and there's no shame in that. I would really like that. I mean, you can't do it in Brooklyn because someone will steal your package, but like, I really like there's so much pride in certain branding and certain packaging that arrives at your door. Like, everyone knows you got something from Sephora. Like, it's very... We're totally confident in getting whatever the hell Sephora wanted to send us. But why are we like hiding that we're getting a vibrator or like lingerie of some kind or like a cock ring or whatever it is? Like, why are we ashamed of these very like awesome things that we're getting delivered to? I don't know. Whatever. This is, we've gone on a tangent a bit, which is great. I mean, what else am I going to do on my Wednesday? This is the highlight. So we connected initially because you shared an essay of mine from my Refinery 29 series, which ended this summer, and it was one of the older pieces. And I was telling you earlier, one of the frustrating things for me as a writer is like how often the stuff that I wrote in that series was misunderstood because, a lot of what I said was new. And a lot of what I said was counter to societal opinion of singlehood or singles opinions of singlehood for themselves. So really often the message seemed to fly overhead, so to speak. Oh. But you read it and shared it. Thank you for that, by the way. And you shared it because you got it, because you felt it. And so to be sort of recognized by a fellow writer in that way felt very good to me. So thank you very much for that. I think we both share a lot of opinions of singlehood. And I'm curious, do you think that singlehood has had a fair reputation or representation in the media, in the world, in life? Why or why not?
Absolutely not. So firstly, I think singlehood, especially for women, has been demonized. You're seen as crazy or... you have a massive personality flaw as to why you're single. And, you know, often on dating sites, and I mean, fuck dating sites. I mean, I'm on every single one of them, but still fuck them. You know, you get messages from these guys going, why are you single? Well, because I want to be. And it's almost that thing, like you don't actively go and ask someone, why are you single? Because it's none of your fucking business, firstly, but also why are you making it like a negative? And that's the thing. It's always been kind of packaged, you know, to be the single gal is a negative. And I don't know whether this is, you know, I'm obsessed with Sex and the City. That's how I learn about sex and relationships and girlhood and kind of the toxic on off relationship between Big and Carrie. Like, I always yearned after that kind of relationship. And it's kind of given us this kind of empowerment also within ourselves. But I feel like society it's still a taboo and it's still a negative for us. And modern dating with online dating and not being able to actually meet people in person now has just kind of reinforced it, because it's made everyone feel very lonely. And it shouldn't be a lonely thing. Being single doesn't mean you're lonely. It just means you're not partnered with someone. You still have friends, you still have family. But it's always this thing, like, if you're single, you must be lonely. You must be a spinster. You must have a million cats. And it's always these kind of jokes that we make. And I feel like, especially with your writing, you still approach singlehood with the humor that it has. And, you know, there's so many memes and so many different jokes about, and, you know, we're very kind of self-critical, but, and that's the joke of it, right? But actually there needs to be a serious kind of stance on the fact that if you're single, you're absolutely fine. There's nothing wrong with you. And that's what you really put across brilliantly in your pieces. And especially that piece that I totally, utterly related to.
There has to be a way to be funny and single without hating yourself.
Yes.
That has to be possible. That was what I tried to do with this series. And I think maybe some of the humor is what contributed to the misunderstanding of a lot of my work. but also, like, when somebody, I think we have to get better at not absorbing things like, why are you single? We absorb it. We just say, oh, I don't know, or shrug it off or whatever. But I think when we stop absorbing the impact of questions like that, when we start saying back, I don't know, why are you married? Or better yet, how are you married? If you start doing that, it starts telling people, hey, that question I just asked is wrong and potentially offensive, and also, like, completely irrelevant. Just, it None doesn't, you know, or like maybe there isn't a why. Maybe the why that you're looking for is nothing more deep than, I just haven't met my partner yet. That's it. You have, I haven't. That's it. That's all there is to it. Like, the assumption of wrongness, particularly as you follow a timeline, not to scare you, but the older you get, like, the more wrong is assumed. And it's like, why does my timeline have to match everyone else's? There is, like, one right way. And if you don't do it the right way, there is something wrong with you. There is something old with you. There is something unattractive with you. There's something undesirable with you if you are single past when we, the collective society, decide that you should be partnered. It's bullshit. Speaking of bullshit, what do you think is the most bullshit thing about the single experience? Like, what do you, just what's unfair? What is just fucked? Like, what doesn't feel as it should feel to you about singlehood?
I really hate it when, like, people try and hook you up with their friends because they feel sorry for you. I hate it when family members, every Christmas, birthday, Hanukkah, Passover, everything, are like, when are you going to marry? When are you going to find a nice boy? And it's always, and actually, hilariously, and also not hilariously, last week over dinner, completely unprovoked, my parents said, oh, so are you going to consider freezing your eggs? I shit you not. And I was like, really? Do we have that money? Because great, give it to me so I can move out. But secondly, I didn't even know how to answer that. Yeah, cool. Great. Should I be thinking about? And it's those kind of questions. It's kind of like, oh, well, you're single, so you must be not kind of thinking about marriage or whatever. But I think biologically you should think about the future. Loads of bullshit things about being single, being put on a singles table at a wedding.
Oh my God, that one is...
It's the worst.
It's the worst thing you can do to someone who loves you enough to buy a plane ticket.
Right.
It's the rudest, cruelest insult. Like, I don't know anyone at this table and all my friends from law school are 10 feet away having a great time. What have you done? Exactly. What have you done?
You sat me next to this 3.5 that I probably won't even get along with, well with. Like, fuck you. Like, seriously.
Dude, eights and up.
Table. It's worse.
Oh, the kids' table is the worst thing ever. The kids' table was like, that's where I would find myself stuck in a family situation. Would be like any sort of religious, like, or Thanksgiving or whatever, like the, and it's metaphorical too, right? Like, cause your family thinks until your partner that you are to some degree still a child.
Yeah.
Something not yet grown about you if you are single. I'm happy to report that eventually they get the message.
Really?
Especially if you write a series on Refinery 29 or start a podcast, they really start to get it. But yeah, eventually, and I've heard this from women who are in generations older than me as well. I've heard that eventually people just stop asking and stop like the, you know, that like vibe of negativity and vibe of like, you're lacking something that people can give to you over dinner or drinks or colleagues, mm-hmm. whatever. I've heard that it goes away, which is awesome. I just wish that it would go away for different reasons.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I just wish people would stop, like, you know, the be all and end all through life. I feel like society just believes that you've made it. You have to go through this life plan. You get a job, you get married, you have kids, you retire, and then you die. Like, what if I don't want to do all that shit in the middle? What if I just want to fucking travel the world and sleep around with as many hot guys as possible and never have to settle down and pay child support or raise kids? Like, what a life. I'd be richer, happier, all of those things.
And why do people look at you when you say that like you're somehow selfish or arrogant or failing at being a person or letting society mm-hmm. down? Last I checked, we didn't have a shortage of humans on the planet.
We have too much.
Yes, if anything. So I don't really see why it's a negative to just decide that you're cool living a life that doesn't look like the one that has been prescribed to us since time immemorial. I would love it if I leave singlehood better than I found it, I will know that this is true. If a single woman can sit down at a dinner table with a table full of friends and the first question she is asked is not, so are you seeing anybody? I will know that I have done my work on this earth if that question stops being asked of her. I will know that I have done some good on this planet. If I do anything, let it be that. Let it be, let's ask her anything else. Anything else.
How your day is going? How your job's going? But why is it all... Honestly.
How's your family? Have you traveled anywhere recently? Are you planning to? How's work stuff going? Any fun side hustles these days? Do you have any hobbies? Because I'm really bored with my life. Anything. Anything other than, so are you seeing anybody? Because then it starts off from a place of like, she feels like, and I don't know if you feel like this, but you feel like you have to defend your existence. Because it's go ahead.
I had a situation which I ended up writing a massive piece about. So a few years ago, I was sat down with my girlfriends and the first question they asked me was, are you seeing anyone? Are you dating? Are you having sex? And I was like, I'm not. I haven't had sex for a whole year. Like, I just haven't even thought about it until this moment. And it really got me thinking because I was like, I obviously haven't thought about it because I've been so busy doing all the shit that I want to do in my life. But suddenly my friend then turns around and says to me, but is it a choice? As though it wasn't. And it really bugged me. And I ended up writing a massive piece about how, as I'm a millennial, I'm a avocado latte loving millennial, how we are so broke and so pressured to do side hustles and jobs and to do well and actually afford to buy a house and get a mortgage that dating and relationships are just not a priority. And sleeping around or even just having someone to sleep with is not a priority. And so it bugged me so much that this was a thing. And I wrote a massive piece about it. So have a read.
Please link me to it. And I will put it in the show notes because you are not alone in that view. I will tell you that right now. I also, I sort of resent the sex questions too. Not that I don't think it's anyone's business. I'm totally cool talking about sex, but like there has to be a space in between. Like how long it's been since you've had sex needs to stop being a thing. Because if I was worried about length of time between sexual partners, that I could solve for. Like we could just go have very casual sex as often as we wanted to if we like didn't care about any number of things that matter to me. But like I don't want casual sex anymore. There was a time when I was much younger where that was really fun and I had a great time and everything was consensual and safe and awesome. But mm-hmm. as I've gotten older, like it doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't feel like it counts as sex. It just feels very flat. And I need like something that sparkles a bit more than that, to be perfectly honest with you.
It's so true. That is something that I've really kind of got to grips with just being single, is that I don't want casual sex. I do not want to wake up in someone's bed the next day and regret my whole life. I have enough regrets. Don't need another one. And it's kind of like, if I am going to make love to anyone, that it has to mean something. It has to be intimate. I want the intimacy more than the actual sex. And I don't want to be like condescending to anyone young right now, but I feel like when you are in that kind of stage, 21 to 27 or whatever, I mean, I only just turned 27, you can't tell the difference, especially with modern dating. Like this is why everyone's hurt all the time, because people are craving intimacy and are having casual sex and expect the intimacy from the casual sex when people aren't agreeing on what they actually want as they're dating, and there's no communication there.
Have you ever heard the phrase, it used to be, how long do we date before we have sex? And now it's how long do we have sex before we date? Like that, it's a complete shift in the way things operate just because of the way modern dating has structured itself and what we've sort of started participating in. And it's like, there's almost I don't see any negativity in waiting for what I want, even if it takes like whatever length of time it takes. It could be tomorrow, it could be like years from now, it doesn't matter. Like I would rather not settle for less than what I want. And Exactly. Isn't it strange that that's a radical idea?
It is seemed radical. Like it's so crazy. Like even when you're on a date with someone and you being honest about what you want and what you don't want, it seemed you're being too forward. And it's like, well, wouldn't you rather me be honest and let me tell you that, okay, I'm looking for a relationship or I'm not looking for a relationship? That conversation is so taboo on dates. And I think that if actually everyone had that conversation, no one would get ghosted or no one would get hurt. Like everyone would know where they stand.
Yep. It's, there's a real, like, have you ever been in a situation in dating where you've held your tongue because you don't want to scare someone away?
All the time.
Why don't we just scare them? Why don't we just go ahead and scare them, that maybe they need to be scared and maybe we need to be free to go do something else?
Because there's always that fear of rejection, right? No one likes to be rejected, and no one likes the idea of, oh, if I say something that they're not going to like, they're just going to leave.
Yep.
I think secretly we all have kind of abandonment issues. And, you know, asking someone, it should be as simple as that, right? It should be as what you're looking for. Oh, I'm looking for a relationship. Great. Me too. Okay. Let's see where this goes, rather than let's just play a fucking guessing game for 7 months before one of us gets hurt.
Or my favorite. Yeah. I'm looking for a relationship too. And then you never hear from them after you have sex, after you were dating for like 2 or 3 weeks. That was a real gem for me. That was just a little, we have that hanging up on a plaque on my wall. Remember when this used to happen all the fucking time? Not bitter about it though.
It's almost like those live, laugh, love placards that people have in the house, but you just want, like, you know, I'm not ready for a relationship. I want casual sex. Yes. You should just have those.
Yes.
Or I'm busy right now. I'm too busy with work, so I don't want to date, even though I've dated you for like a year.
I want mine to say, I don't want to have to initiate holding hands. I would like you to just do that first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like fuck me. What is something to continue with an actual interview of you? What is something about singlehood that you used to fear or dread, but now that you are living in singlehood confidently, you no longer dread it?
Definitely that alone thing. Mm-hmm. Being alone. You know, every Christmas or holiday, seeing all these couples around and I'm there literally walking by myself, or going to parties and people are kissing and holding hands. Like even now, like I find myself just being a little bit bitter, but not in a way that I'm like, oh, I really want to be that couple. I'm like, oh, definitely don't want to be that couple. You guys are gross. Definitely being by yourself and actually learning to be by yourself was a terrifying concept, because I used to think that no one liked me because I was single, like I had things that were wrong with me. And now I'm just like, actually, there's something wrong with you if you don't like me, because I'm fucking great. So definitely that. I think that's it's a growth thing. You learn to love yourself first before you can actually give out love, right?
Yeah. And how would we know if we hadn't experienced this?
Exactly. And like the heartache and et cetera, like comes with it. But I think that once you grow and you come to accept that, okay, I'm so happy with being single now that if I do date you and it doesn't go too well, I've not lost anything. You just weren't the right person for me. Whereas before, my whole world would crumble if someone did not like, oh my God, I'd literally fall into a depression. It was a thing. Like I'd be writing in my journal, oh my God, I really love this guy. He's amazing. I'd obsess over them. And then once they leave, it felt like I was going to their funeral, like someone died. I'm so glad I don't get that feeling anymore.
Same here. We all just want to be liked and loved, and there's nothing wrong with that, but there has to be a point at which you see how much power you're giving other people to make you feel wanted and chosen. And you kind of have to choose yourself to sort of feel good, I guess. Maybe that's, I've got pretty
validation.
Exactly. Exactly. Validation is such a fucking mood. Those moments when you see those couples around, particularly at the holidays, like all that kind of stuff, I've gotten really good at seeing the value in what I am while looking at the value in what they are and not thinking that either one of us is more valuable than the other or more valid than the other. The last one, the one I haven't been able to conquer, is the stroke of midnight on New Year's Eve, when everyone is kissing each other and I am not kissing anyone. That moment, that like couple of seconds, is so hard for me, such that I have had to like invent coping skills for how to like deal with that couple of seconds, because it really hurts me still. And like, I do this shit for a living. Like I need to be good at this, right? So I have like battle plans in my mind of what to do at the stroke of midnight. My favorite one is to position myself like someplace high up, like on a chair or something, and be like a photographer who grabs that moment where everyone's kissing at midnight and have a really beautiful picture of everybody like celebrating the new year together. That's one thing that I like to do. I also like to hand out champagne. Just like to, I don't know, like,
in that moment,
make yourself useful, like do busy yourself in some way, whatever. But like, that's the last one.
Goes really quickly.
And then after they all kiss their spouses, then they all want to kiss you. I'm like the second kiss on New Year's Eve. Until I am the first kiss, I need strategies in place for how to deal with being the second kiss. Anyway,
just do what I do and grab the nearest guy and then realize after midnight that he was probably way too young for you.
Age is a construct.
Yeah, it's fine.
Age is a construct. Time is a construct. If you could change modern single and dating culture in any way, what would you change?
I would change online dating and apps. I would just eradicate them, because I feel like it's so shallow. It's just a game.
When I move to London, we're going to be friends.
Oh my, please, please move here.
Your answer was my answer as well. That's exactly what I would do.
Amazing. You know what I really, really love? And this has only happened to me once in my lifetime, but it's a memory I will never forget. I was out with my dad. My dad's like 60. And we went to a blues bar. This was 2 years ago, pre-pandemic. It was lovely. I met him after work and we were sat on the table drinking wine, listening to a band. And there was this gorgeous, absolutely prince-looking man sat opposite me. Oh, he was so gorgeous. And we got talking and I found out he was a human rights lawyer. And I was like, great, you know, I'm working in journalism. We could probably work on some stories. Totally innocently, not even, you know, I was thinking, this guy's not going
to
fancy me.
This is the most Bridget Jones start to a story I have ever heard.
Honestly, the next part will kill you. Honestly, I still have, anyway. So I gave him my email and was like, great, he's going to email me some great stories about, you know, human rights things. I'm on the train home with my dad. I check my email. I get an email from him
an email. Of course, I gave him my email. Yeah. And the subject heading was like, I can't remember, but it was this really romantic email, which was basically asking me out. But he said he didn't want to ask my number because my dad was there. And he was just like, can I take you out for a nice drink? Blah, blah. It was just like the most romantic way to ask someone out on a date. And he took me out on a date. We dated maybe 4 times. He took me to the National Gallery, went for wine. We went to the cinema to see La La Land, a film which he had already seen, and just spent the whole time trying to kiss me. There was one time he took me for bubble tea in Trafalgar Square. And then he just disappeared.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
He ghosted me. He fucked off. And that was it. And you know what? I wasn't even mad, because the experience of being emailed and asked out via an email in such romantic and organic settings that wasn't on an app, I appreciated so much. One of the best experiences ever. And that's what I want in the real life. Minus the ghost.
Well, I'm really glad that you were able to hold on to the positive in that story, because it would have been very easy to only focus on the negative, because ghosting is a foul behavior. One that I might add, I myself have been guilty of in the past, but typically for me, those have been situations where I don't feel particularly comfortable continuing to speak to someone.
I'd actually love your thoughts on this, actually. Is ghosting, okay, so ghosting, there's two types of ghosting, right? So there's ghosting where you've been on a date with someone and it clearly hasn't worked out and you just kind of organically don't talk ever again.
Sure.
Sometimes it's quite nice. But then sometimes, okay, one person likes the other person and the other person ghosts them. That's bad, right? But what if you have been dating? And this is an example of mine. Once again, last year, was dating a guy for 7 months. 7 months. Just disappeared. That is the kind of worst ghosting ever, when you're actually dating someone.
That is a crime. I would like to report a crime to the authorities. It is so unfathomable to me to spend a significant amount of time with someone. Investing time. I would argue that 4 dates is well into that time frame. Like, there's just there is a human understanding after spending time with another human being, that to simply disappear is incredibly hurtful and rude and dismissive and belittling and confusing, because you've now made someone else wonder what the fuck happened for however long. You let somebody else wonder. It's like it used to happen to me in the professional world all the time. I would go for like round after round of interview, and I would get like to the very end where you're like talking to the CEO for 2 hours, and then you go for drinks and dinner and stuff, and then they would still ghost. I don't think it's good karma to leave somebody wondering.
Yes.
Somebody that you spent a significant amount of time with, I don't think it's good to leave them wondering, because it's like, what did I do? What happened? Like, that questioning, when really it has nothing to do with the person. It has to do with you, the ghoster, just not having the guts or manners to say, I just don't want to see you anymore. I don't think that this is a relationship I want to pursue. Why are we so scared to say that truth?
It's a form of gaslighting for me, to be honest.
Ooh.
It's a form of gaslighting for me, because it's almost like, they lead you on for a very long time. They get to know you ins and out. You're having these pillow talk conversations, and you've done what's your favorite color, what's your favorite dog breed, all this over and over again. You've invested time into them, and they can't even have the common decency to communicate with you like a human being. And for me, especially when they're kind of dipping into these conversations, I think it's called breadcrumbing, but it's where they kind of, you know, leaving little traces, like, oh, they kind of want to see you, but they won't set a date. Oh, they're checking in with you on social media, or they're responding to things, but they still won't tell you when they want to see you next. And I find that, actually, I find it quite emotionally abusive, because you are giving them time and energy and wanting to kind of pursue things, and they're not telling you what they want, although they're keeping you led on. I hate it. Oh. And then the thing is, when you speak up against it, they make you feel like you're mad, or you've completely got the message, not got the message. I hate it.
May I give you a small amount of wisdom?
Yes.
May I pretend that like I am sharing your tie and as someone older, whenever, how do I say this? People tell you everything you need to know. Mm. And when you start questioning, why isn't he setting a time to hang out? Why aren't we hanging out at all anymore? Why is this happening? What is this little, when the breadcrumbs start, that's when you stop. That's when you stop responding, stop engaging, block on Instagram if you have to. If they're looking at every single one of your stories, like that's their fucking privilege. Block that motherfucker. Whenever they start bubbling up these questions in your mind, that's when you stop. You say no to that because you deserve more than that. You walk away, you stop talking to that person, and you move on with your life. You stop giving that person your attention and energy because all they're giving you is scraps. So you move on.
They're trash. You start making excuses for them. You go, oh, they're busy. Oh, they're doing this. Or, oh, I don't want to bother them. And you know what? You're 100% right. It's just very difficult to follow your own advice when you're in it. And I know that.
Of course.
So hard. Like, I've seen myself in that situation looking in, going, what the fuck are you doing? What are you doing? And there's me going, oh, no, it's fine. And this is why modern dating sucks. It can drive you absolutely mad.
You have to forgive yourself. You have to forgive yourself for having emotions and for having reactions to things and for not dealing with a situation perfectly every time. They aren't dealing with it perfectly. I'll tell you that right now. And your feelings are valid. Your emotions are valid. Your actions are valid. Even if in hindsight, you didn't like them very much. They were still an education that you were giving yourself. They were still a process you had to go through. They don't get to have any power over you. That's the end of it. It's just the right person will not leave you with questions. The right person will not leave you feeling like shit. And anybody that is giving you anything other than that is simply someone who does not deserve your time and energy. That's it. Will I fuck this up in the future? Probably, even as I'm saying it out loud? Maybe. I don't know. It is so much easier to say it than to do it. But maybe the more we say it, the more confidence we will have in doing it and in knowing our worth in the moment. Because we know our worth right now, but sometimes it's the temptations of modern dating, the temptations of things like attention and affection and feeling liked. Those can sometimes cloud worth.
Yes.
And I'm really hoping, and believe me, I will report back. It's just that I don't really date anymore. So I don't have any like real life examples of this, but I will report back the next time somebody breadcrumbs me, how quickly I will tell them to fuck off.
Oh my God, please. Yes. I love that.
I block on Instagram like it's my job. There is no one, literally no one I've ever been on dates with or dated in the past that is allowed to follow me on Instagram. 100% of them are blocked.
Dreaming. I need this. I need to do this. Cause I was just like, fuck it, just see how much fun I'm having without you.
I mean, I love that vibe too. I just don't think they get to window shop me.
I love that. I love that. They don't deserve it.
Like, I'm really, really pretty. You don't just get to stare at me because you're attracted to me and like we had a great dinner that one time and I made you laugh. Fuck off. Like, I'm not here for your, you know, one evening of entertainment.
So true.
If that's true, buy a ticket to me. Pay me. Pay me and I will let you ghost me all you want to. But like, I am not your free entertainment for you to then like insult with your disappearance.
That's stellar. So true. At least buy me a fucking Birkin and get it over and done with.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Oh my God. Cardi B posted a photo of herself today with like 50 Birkins in her closet.
I kept scrolling. So I was like, bitch, I don't need to see that. Okay.
Does she know there are other purses?
Does she even use them?
I don't.
That's the thing. They're more investment pieces.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, culture is going to have such an inheritance.
To be that kid.
Oh my God. She has Birkins.
Yeah. It's crazy. Well, what did you do in your life to even earn that? I'd have to work till I'm 70 to get a Birkin.
You shouldn't have a Birkin if you can fit inside it. Like that should be the rule about having Birkin. Whatever. I love Cardi B. I love her baby.
Yes.
So let me ask one final question.
Juicy.
Right. What do you love about this single life you're living, and what will you miss the most about it when you are in a partnership in the future?
It's a really great question. I love being single because just do what I want, say what I want, wear what I want. Not that any of these things are dictated when you're in a relationship. I just love the fact that there's just so much freedom, and you can still have freedom in a relationship. But I think sometimes when you're in a relationship, you can, and if you're not strong in yourself, you can lose a bit of yourself. And that's what I worry about relationships, is that you can be so in love. If you think you're in love, you're really lusting very early on. Let's be real. You can lose a part of yourself. And that happened to me in my last relationship. I just was so hell-bent on doing things that my partner wanted to do, except that I lost a part of myself. And actually being single for 5 years has really taught me what I want and what I want to achieve in my life. And actually my standards are so much higher now. So now if someone even wants to date me, I'm like, what are you going to bring to my life that is going to benefit me or is going to push me to work harder? Like, it should be a partnership rather than I'm fucking carrying you on my back, which is like most men right now. But again, like, I think being single, I do miss the intimacy. I do miss being able to share things with someone else. I do miss doing like the datey kind of relationship type things. But then I can get that doing that with my friends and guys that I fancy. I don't have to have a label on it. But then I think when I am in a relationship, God knows when that will be. I'm sure my mother is counting down the days. I think I will just miss, I don't know. I don't actually, you know what? I'm going to retract that. I think I won't miss anything when I'm in a relationship, because I will still be the person that I am, that I was single in my relationship, if not even better.
That is a hell of an answer, my friend. I like that very, very much. I do. I tend to think that I will miss having the whole bed to myself. I think that's going to be a bit of a challenge, but they make really, really big beds now. So maybe I'll just get an enormous, like, can't even touch you at an arm's length kind of a bed, and they'll be fine.
Oh, I'm going to have my own bedroom.
Thank you. You know something? I think that's trending. I really do. I mean, bless Whoopi Goldberg, that famous quote of hers, she's like, no, I'm not married, I don't want someone in my house. Like, that's real. That's honestly. So, and I think Helena Bonham Carter, when she was married, I think they had separate houses next door to each other, but like separate.
I love that. I love that. I want that to be normalized, because I don't want boxes and dirty socks in my room. I don't want to see nastiness. I just, and actually being in a relationship, what I hate most about it is guys who leave the toilet seat up.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Like, that is so childish. Like, grow the fuck up. Put it down.
Manners.
And stop pissing all over the floor.
Oh, God.
It's those things that I just won't,
We don't have to tolerate them, you know. We can simply say, if you continue to do this, you will not continue to do me. That's what's going to happen.
And I'll make you sit down and pee.
I'm going to push him in.
If
I fall in because a guy left the seat up and in the middle of the night I went to pee and I fell in, I'm going to shove him in too. This is an equal partnership, 50-50, goddammit.
That is honestly the worst. Your whole ass is in the fucking toilet.
I saw on Twitter recently, some guy was like, ladies, I'm sorry, because it happened to him in the middle of the night. He had left the seat up on himself and he had fallen in. And it was just like, at last.
Do that ever again, will they?
No, he won't, because he gets how fucking horrible it is. Like, we just need one guy to experience childbirth.
Yeah.
And a whole host of men who think they can make laws about women's bodies just stop talking. Like, if one guy could just experience childbirth, be like, you know what? Let's let the ladies be in charge of themselves.
Please, for one day, just for at least 48 hours of labor, I just want them to experience it. I want them to experience periods. I want them to experience the only having 2 days of a month where you're actually feeling normal before you ovulate and before the period actually kicks in and you turn into a monster.
I want them to experience pregnancy fear. I want them to have sex and for the next 3 weeks, freak the fuck out that they might be pregnant. I want them to carry around that fear because that was my 20s. Even, and I was very safe. I was always on birth control. I always used condoms. And I was still petrified that I was going to get pregnant. Oh my God.
When you suddenly get like the bloat and you think, oh my God, I'm pregnant.
Yeah. And it was just like a burrito or something. Yeah. All the, there's, I think, oh, the intricacies and the ins and outs. I have not had a just a fun conversation about this much truth in a while. So thank you for joining me and indulging me in talking about the, you know, getting in there, just getting in the mix on it.
Oh, we got into the nitty gritty, the real shit.
We did, honestly, didn't we?
No barriers.
None needed. None needed. Thank you so much for joining me. Please tell everyone how they can follow you online and keep up with your work.
Thank you. Yeah. So again, my name's Jessica Noah Morgan. You can follow me on Twitter, where I'm J Noah Morgan, and Instagram, Jessica Noah Morgan. I love my name a lot, don't I?
It's beautiful.
and yeah, if you like my writing, you can check out Refinery 29 UK, type in Jessica Morgan. I'm very much online all the time. I mean, just type in Jessica Morgan journalist. You'll probably find me ranting about a man.
We're internet-y people. What can we say?
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me. This was so much
fun. Thank you so much. I'm so honored and such a big fan. So
it was my pleasure.